And you know, so many, not so many, but there are scholars, commentators who work so hard to make this more comfortable rather than uncomfortable, who work so hard to make this so much more palatable and easy to swallow that they actually bring it to a place where it's actually almost discouraging rather than encouraging. Because they water down the promise of God so much to make it comfortable for us that it loses its sense of awe and majesty and wonder. It takes the mystery out of it, and it reduces it to some mean little thing that anybody on any level of rebellion or moderate obedience can swallow without any problem. And it's not meant to be watered down. It's meant to rock our world. Either that, or they, in order to make it more fit into our paradigm, they lay it down with so many conditions and hoops and hurdles to jump over that it makes it nearly impossible to lay a hold of anyway. And so it almost becomes discouraging when we think, well, yeah, whatever. You know, I don't get any, that's just too big for my frame of reference. It doesn't do anything for me. Jesus wants you, and let me say even almost prophetically, Jesus today wants you to be encouraged by his words. Amen. I hope today you come out of here lit up like a Roman candle over God's staggering promises. And we're even going to cover this whole thing about Jesus cursing the fig tree and killing that thing too. I think you'll be blessed by that too. So, let's be a little uncomfortable today. Let's tremble a little bit today. How many people are ready to step into the roller coaster of God's word? Yeah, and just go for a ride, man. Let's go for a ride today. Let's strap on. Yeah. You can stand up and put your arms in the air too if you want. I don't care, you know. You go flying out that thing, it's not my problem. Actually, let me tell you this. The cool thing about it, God's word will take you to some heights sometime where you look down and you think, man, it is a long way down. I better be secure in this thing. But it's good to know that when you are in Christ, the bars of security come over your shoulders, and it's not you grasping him, it's him grasping you. You are safe in the arms of Christ. So let's jump on in and go for a ride. Amen? Praise God. Okay. Thank you, Lord. First things first. Jesus curses the fig tree. Comes along, doesn't see any fruit, speaks a word, and kills the tree. What is up with that? I mean, really. You know, is that the kind of Bible story you read to your child at night? So Jesus came along. He saw some leaves on the fig tree, but unfortunately there was no fruit. So he cursed it and it died. Shriveled up from the very roots, fell over dead. Sleep tight. Pleasant dreams. It's like those Bible stories about Noah's Ark. What is up with that? Why do we put Noah's Ark on our kids', you know, wall and stuff like that? Somewhere. Not only that, but do you recall it says in verse 13, for it was not the season for figs. He came up, looked at the tree. It wasn't the season for figs. He didn't see anything, so he kills the tree. What do we do with that? I love when that happens because that tells me that God has something very rich in there for me. I love when I see stuff that makes me scratch my head. Don't ever be afraid of the Bible, man. That's the very stuff that God uses so that he can just And I meant to say that. Okay, so first of all, in order to really understand this, let's go to the historical grammatical context, literal historical grammatical exegesis of this passage, and let's get a little education about fig trees. Aight? Fig trees. Now, I generally think, when I think of a fruitful plant, I think the thing, you know, spring comes and the thing just starts to have all these beautiful flowers and everything on it, and all of a sudden the fruit appears. Fig trees, forget about it. That's not how they work. They actually work backwards. Did you know that? Fig trees work backwards. Fig trees bear their fruit first before they put out leaves. Isn't that wild? Not the leaf and then the fruit. First the fruit and then the leaf. So if you see leaves on a fig tree, what does that logically tell you should be there? Fruit. Whoa. Not only that, but this event, this whole event happened in April, you know, coming close to the Passover, crucifixion, resurrection, the whole thing, happened around April. In Palestine, fig trees can bear fruit as early as March. But the time when that fruit becomes fully ripened and ready for harvest is around May or June. And many commentators, including the famous Methodist Adam Clark, believes that that's what they are talking about there. In fact, William Barnes, too, says that that season for figs he's talking about is the harvest season when these figs are fully ripe. They're ready to almost fall off the thing, and they harvest them at that time. And it was not yet that time. It was still early in the season. But because there was leaves, he should reasonably expect there to be what? Fruit. Okay, John. Lied to him. Nerve of that tree. Showed that thing, didn't he? So, this tree had a show of life. It held out a promise of life. But upon closer inspection, as John just said a moment ago, it was in fact a lie. It had all the fluff, all the pomp, all of the spectacle as though it were alive and fruitful, and yet upon closer inspection, it was void and empty. Kind of like Israel at that time. Promise with no substance. It was all show and no go. It was all toot, no fruit. Had the leaves, didn't have the figs. And just like Israel, it missed the time of its visitation. There was a time appointed for Jesus to come and come across this fig tree and be encouraged by the leaves, hoping to find fruit and see that in fact there was nothing there. Just like Israel, it had a time that it should have been ready. It should have been prepared. It should have been fit for the master's use. But when the master came and sought to take fruit and harvest from it, there was nothing there. It was all show and no go. It was all leaves. Let me say this. I don't want to be a fruitless fig tree in my life or in my ministry. I want there to be fruit. I don't want to have all of the display and all the show and all the commotion as though there was something really spiritual happening in my life, only to find out that it's just superficial, it's all on the surface, it's all a show, and there really is no substance there. It's all promise, but no substance. I want to be a fruitful, abundant fig tree, ready, prepared, and fit for the master's use, so that when he goes below the surface, beyond all the show, beyond all the commotion, and all the motions, and all the exercises, he finds real life in me. How many people would say, I want to be a fruitful tree for Jesus Christ? I don't want to just be a pretense. I don't want to just have a veneer. I don't want to just be a show. When the rubber meets the road, I want there to be real, genuine, Jesus Christ-laden fruit in my life. Lord God, make us that way. Make us that way. I don't want to go through all the motions and not be plugged into the source of life and allow that life to come flood me and bear fruit in my spirit. I want to be very fruitful and flavorful, abiding in Him and seeing Him come forth in me. Because the consequences, my friends, are much too high to do otherwise. In the book of Revelation, there was a church at Ephesus. They had a lot going for them, a whole laundry list of things. that were going on inside the church. He said, you got good works. You're doing all the works. You've done much labor, tireless labor. You've shown great patience. You've got all these things going for you. You oppose evildoers. You cannot bear them. You have exposed false prophets, false apostles, and shown them to be liars. You've got works, you've got patience, you've got labor, you hate evildoers, and you expose the false apostles. Sounds like a great list. It says, but I've got something against you. You lost your first love. Out of all the hoopla and all the commotion and all the activity and all the exercise, you lost your passion for me. I got lost somewhere in the mix. And you're doing all this stuff! And I'm not even in it. You got all the leaves! You got leaves up one side and down the other. But you're not plugged into me. So you got no fruit. We can be covered in leaves. We can have activity day and night to the point of literal exhaustion and do all of these things and somehow miss Jesus in the midst of it. And it's all leaves and no figs. God's looking for figs, not twigs. I don't care how much leaf you've got. You can wave that bad boy around. It can rustle and make noise. You can shake it around. You can hit people upside the head with it. You can put on a great show. But if you're not plugged in to the juice, it's only so much leaves. And what did he say? Unless you repent of having lost your first love, unless you repent and unless you rekindle that passion for your Lord, for your first love, I'm going to take your lampstand and remove it from its place. And why not? Because the fire has already gone out. Lampstand without fire is no good. It's taking up space. Back the darkness that surrounds it because the light has gone out, that lampstand will just trip you up. A lot of churches got a lot of activity, but there's no fire inside, and they serve more to trip people up than they do to light the pathway to life. I never knew you. It's more than religion. It's genuine relationship. Fig leaves are no substitute for fig fruit. They will never, never, ever satisfy. How many people could tell me, what did Adam and Eve use to cover up their shame? What was that?
Fig leaves.
Fig leaves. Where have I heard that before? I've heard that somewhere before. They thought they could cover their shame with what? Fig leaves. Did it work? No. God, in essence, told them, stop. I can see through the leaves. It's not enough. It won't cover. Fig leaves have never been enough. God's looking for fruit. He's looking for the real deal. And that's scary. That rocks our world because that means there's consequences for a barren spiritual walk. We can be glib and we can be cavalier and carry on and go through all the motions and put on a nice fine display. But when Jesus Christ comes looking for fruit, let me tell you, my dear beloved friends, there better be some fruit on the vine. There better be some fruit on the vine. Don't miss your day of visitation. This is serious, weighty stuff. And it should shake us up. Is there fruit or is it nothing but leaves? Is it simply commotion and activity or am I plugged in to the life of God and bearing fruit from that relationship? Jesus said in John 15:4, abide in me. He's not talking about paying a little visit and staying for an hour and saying, okay, time for me to go.